You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Marshall, Will, and Holly on the routine expedition met the greatest earthquake ever known.
Hi, this is Wesley Ure from Land of the Lost. I played Will, and my entire performance on that show was, "Run, Holly, run! There's a dinosaur!"
Hi, this is Kathy Coleman.
Hi, this is Phil Paley. I play Chuck on Land of the Lost.
You're listening to the Flopcast.
Flopcast rocks!
To the Land of the Lost.
Live from Chickentown, this is the Flopcast, episode 216.
On flopcast.net.
Yes, yes, hello, Cornflake.
Well, hey there, Kevin. How are you?
I'm just fine, thanks. What are we doing today? I think we have a few things to get through today.
Yeah, we've actually been doing things.
We're going to try to move quickly, I think. So what do you say we jump right into National Whatever Day?
National Whatever Day!
Forgive me for hesitating a little bit, Kevin. But last week's National Whatever Day is a little bit of a tough act to follow.
Remind me, what did we do last week?
Last week was National Selfie Day.
Oh, okay. Because I forget these instantly.
That's for the best. There's lots of them.
So that worked out pretty well because you were encouraging people to take a picture of yourself, post it to us.
Right, on Facebook.
And a few people did.
Yep, take a picture of yourself listening to the Flopcast.
I couldn't believe it. The power you possess over other people.
It made me so happy to see our listeners, particularly Lee. Eclectic Lee, I had no idea what he looked like.
He's a faithful listener and correspondent of ours.
And did you catch Grant Bachoco?
Grant, yeah, from behind the wheel, on the road. Somehow.
I'm sure he was at a stop sign. And we get to see Mike. It was like Romper Room, as I'm naming off all of these people. Our buddy Mad Mike.
Yep, Mad Mike was there.
I did it. I almost forgot, but I did it.
You got your own picture in as well.
Me listening to the Flopcast. But I think my most favorite picture of all, I loved them all, but Luke. Luke had a lobster in his picture.
Luke had like a crazy one-eye lobster kind of thing going.
Our friend, the great Luke Ski. That was great. Hey, you can still post your selfie to facebook.com/flopcast.
Sure, keep it coming.
We like it. We like it a lot.
I'm still waiting for more macaques to come forward.
Our macaque listenership has been a bit shy.
You know they're out there. But now it's time to turn the page, a new week, a new whatever day. What are we doing this week?
Get ready for the big letdown.
Oh, good. Now it's time to get serious.
June 30th is National Bomb Pop Day.
National what?
Bomb Pop.
Okay.
Now, do you know what a bomb pop is?
Not, is it some kind of candy or ice cream or?
It's a popsicle.
Yep.
Those red, white, and blue popsicles that you see the ice cream man selling.
Sure. We called them like rocket pops, I think, as kids.
Ah.
It must be a regional thing.
Could be a regional thing.
Up in New Hampshire, perhaps, it's a bomb pop. Now, as I mentioned, I forget these things very quickly, but didn't we have some kind of a popsicle day like 3 weeks ago?
Yeah, that was great popsicles. These are red, white, and blue flavored.
All right, so I'm not crazy then. I'm not making this up in my head.
So I think
this is our second popsicle day.
It's
within like a month. We're really running out of these things, aren't we?
I just like to run the full gamut when celebrating popsicles.
The range we have on this show runs the full spectrum of colors of popsicles. Wow.
With the 4th of July being right around the corner, I thought it would be festive to celebrate the bomb pop.
Now, when was the last time you actually had one of these?
Oh, when I was in my 20s.
Okay, so it's been a while.
At a,
Yeah, hasn't been that long.
I'm not that old.
Don't mean to say it like, wow, so a long, long time ago.
Did they have
refrigeration back then? I can't remember. They just used blocks of ice, I think. The ice truck would come around the neighborhood.
Yes.
Yeah.
But people still do talk about bomb pops. It's
just, all the time, wherever you go.
Right. You can't escape the bomb pop talk. Aren't you glad the segment's over now and we can move on?
it's over, but for how long? Now I feel like I know I'm only 2, maybe 3 weeks away from having to talk about popsicles again.
So many popsicles, so little time.
So I'm going to try to enjoy this very brief break from a pop talk and move on. And I know that what we had to talk about this week mainly was the Northeast Comic Con, correct?
Yes.
Because we both went.
Not at the same time.
Once again, for security reasons, we selected different days to attend Northeast Comic Con.
I think you got the better day.
But did I?
Yes. Because Saturday, which was the day you went, had all the concerts.
There was a lot going on Saturday. I'm guessing Sunday was a bit quieter, but this was one of our favorite local shows. This is your first time going to Northeast Comic Con, I believe.
It is.
This is the show where just last December I talked with Marta Kristen from Lost in Space.
Right.
Did you notice the giant Lost in Space chariot in the corner?
Is that what that was from?
That's from Lost in Space. That was the giant vehicle that they would all drive around in on their weird alien planets.
Neat.
I guess she left it behind. She must have gotten another ride because it's still there.
Massachusetts is very specific about what vehicles they'll license and allow on the road. It might not have passed the emissions test.
So this being your first Northeast Comic Con, talk me through it. What are your impressions? What do you remember? What did you see? What did you do? What do you regret? And when did it all go horribly wrong?
I regret not sleeping more beforehand.
Okay.
Because even though it's not the biggest con I've been to all year, there was so much to do and so much to see and a lot of ground to cover.
Yeah.
So.
Well, this is, again, this is Gary, the guy with the Hawaiian shirt, the toy and pop culture expert from Antiques Roadshow some years back. So a lot of people recognize him from TV. And he runs this show. And he spends the whole year just promoting it. Everywhere I go, I run into Gary promoting Northeast Comic Con. And what he keeps screaming at everybody is, this is guaranteed not boring.
Yes. I saw that on the pamphlet for it.
Oh, yeah.
So some very nice people directed us to where we should park. So
Shriners.
Yes. They,
this place is run by Shriners.
Yes.
Old men in fezzes.
The Shriners Auditorium in Wilmington, Massachusetts. I think there's merit to going at a time when everything has quieted down a little bit. There was no line, for example, to see any of the celebrities who were there. Mm-hmm. Mickey Dolenz was still there.
So Mickey's just sitting there by himself, being ignored?
Oh, no. People were coming up and talking to him here and there, but he was not swarmed.
It wasn't a giant long line, but it was a steady flow of people coming up and talking to Mickey.
Yeah.
Okay. Because Mickey Dolenz.
Right.
Come on.
And I stood just close enough to say, wow. I'm this close to Mickey Dolenz.
Well, that's good. I'm glad you got this. This was your first time seeing a monkey, I believe, right?
True.
Well, this is the year to do it. This is the year of the monkeys, 50th anniversary. And there you go. There's Mickey.
I do wish I could have seen him perform, so I can't wait to hear what you have to say about that.
Did you start screaming, "Hey, Mickey," as Tony Basil would?
No.
They work together, you know. She was a choreographer on Head, on the movie Head.
Oh.
She appears in that movie and she worked on it.
Small world.
Yeah.
I was also then closer than this to Karen Parsons.
That's the lady from Fresh Prince of Bel-Air?
Yeah. She does not look like she has aged a day since the
90s. Yeah, I saw her there. And again, I wouldn't recognize her. I never heard of her before because I didn't know the Fresh Prince show. I didn't watch it the way you did, but I did see her there on Saturday. Lovely lady.
Yeah, and very sweet. It was nice to see her as well.
Yeah.
So I did have a toddler with me. This is my first time bringing a toddler to a con.
Yeah, that's what I keep forgetting to bring with me.
Oh, yeah. I can totally imagine you.
I've got to plan this out better so I don't forget.
Bringing a toddler.
Yeah.
The great thing about Northeast Comic Con is that they do have a children's area. They had coloring, which is great for kids. You can make masks, you can make puppets, and that was really wonderful.
A lot of puppet stuff there, I noticed.
Yeah,
big puppet
on the
area. Yes. I know they had Bill Diamond.
And Noel McNeil.
Yeah, and these are guys who have worked on like real puppets that have appeared in real things that people would know.
Jim Henson Productions.
Yeah, like Fraggle Rock and Dark Crystal, I think, stuff like that.
And even The Muppet Show.
Wow.
In the case of Noel McNeil. And speaking of Noel McNeil, that's not a name I would have recognized.
Right.
But I happened to be at the con while he and Bill Diamond were presenting a workshop on how to create and operate puppets. There's a method to it.
Yes.
And it was audience interactive, mm-hmm. which I know is your favorite thing.
Love it.
I genuinely love it.
Let me at that stage. Need I remind you I was juggled last year because of being foolish enough to volunteer out of the audience?
Fair enough. That is what happens to you when you volunteer.
By the lovely Jenny the Juggler, yeah.
But when I volunteer, I get to be part of a Muppet choir.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm listening to this Noel McNeil talk, and I know that voice. Where do I know that voice from? He uses what is pretty close to his real voice to be the voice of Magellan in a Nickelodeon Junior television show from the 90s called Eureka's Castle.
Yeah, okay. I think I've heard of that.
I used to watch Eureka's Castle with my siblings, and I loved it.
So you used to hear this guy's voice on TV all the time?
Yeah, he was Magellan the Dragon.
And there he is.
It was so great. I'm like, oh, that's him. That's had you told me Magellan the Dragon was going to be at Northeast Comic Con, I would have been even more excited than I already was to go.
Of course.
So here he is, and he goes, well, I need a Muppet choir now. And I brought you a picture. I raised my hand to be part of the Muppet choir, and I got picked. So there's Noel McNeil in the front.
Okay.
And he's using a puppet to tell the rest of us how to use our puppets, and there
so,
I am.
So you have each been handed a puppet. This is like a Muppet-style puppet.
So Noel, and his character, sang the song Be My Echo from Sesame Street.
Okay. I may vaguely remember that.
Way back to classic Sesame Street, there is a segment where Madeline Kahn sings a duet with Grover.
Okay.
And he had our Muppet choir be the echoes.
Sure.
And then there's this one part where you have to hold the fiddle diddle dee as long as you could. Now, the other three people in the choir gave up long before I did.
So you won.
I totally...
You were declared the winner.
I rocked that D, Kevin.
Excellent.
One of the other neat things was how you could get your picture taken with props. Mm-hmm. Jaws was there.
Yeah, they have like a giant shark mouth, right?
And we tried to feed the toddler to Jaws. That didn't go over very well.
Yeah.
I did not see very many cosplayers.
Yeah, there were a bunch around on Saturday, though. Maybe more so than Sunday.
Sunday we saw a couple, though.
What did you see that you liked?
A Little Mermaid.
Those are always good.
Yes. And we saw Luke Skywalker from the latest Star Wars movie.
Okay, like Bearded Skywalker?
Bearded Skywalker. And he let us play with his lightsaber.
Okay. Not his beard.
No, his lightsaber. And I think my favorite of all was that character from Up.
The old man from Up.
The old man from Up and was there.
This is that guy. I've seen this guy at conventions for the last couple of years. He does a fantastic old guy from Up costume.
And he hands out bottle caps that you get to pin on and wear.
Ah.
So we've since heard from him. So his performer name is Cosplay Dad. I get to make friends with Cosplay Dad, Kevin.
That's a great costume. I didn't know his official cosplay name before. Well, did you see R.W. Martin, the man of 1,000 costumes?
I didn't.
You may have, because he was doing Indiana Jones all day on Saturday, but he told me that Sunday he was going to be back to his usual routine of switching costumes throughout the day. So you may have seen him multiple times and not realized. Another guy I've met at a few shows now, excellent costumer named Brandon the Shapeshifter. And on Saturday, Brandon was dressed as Thundar the Barbarian.
Whoa!
Amazing Thundar costume with the glowing sun sword.
Neat.
Yeah, great, great costumer. Check out Brandon the Shapeshifter. And there were a bunch more good ones around, so I always like seeing the costumers, of course. What else did you do when you were there?
I wandered into what looked like a bar area.
Yes, there's like a giant room off to the side where there's a stage where weird performances are going on.
And the weird performances that were going on at the time were chiptunes, songs that sound like they're from video games.
Yeah. Was this the dude with the Hello Kitty guitar?
No, I did not see the dude with the Hello Kitty guitar. I saw a duo on stage. One of them was making music through their Game Boy, and the other one was playing a violin.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it was neat.
I made a point of being in that room Saturday afternoon to see our friend Mark Gallagher, who you met at the comedy studio.
The improv guy.
Yeah, a few weeks ago. He was running the comedy show there Saturday. That was fun.
I think we have at least one thing in common from this convention. We both ran into Wildcard.
Yeah, Wildcard was there Saturday, and he went back Sunday also?
Yeah, I got to see Wildcard.
Oh, cool. Yeah, I ran into Wildcard waiting for the Mickey Dolenz Q&A.
Cool.
Which was good, yeah.
Speaking of Mickey Dolenz.
Yep.
Tell me all about the Q&A, the singing, everything.
Yeah, there was a big concert. Again, in that weird performance room, they have a big concert there Saturday night. It's a long concert.
Yeah.
This was a 4.5 hour show. So let me tell you who was there. Gary was hosting the whole thing, of course. Gary Summers was very funny. Tsunami of Sound was there, which you would like. This is a surf rock band.
Oh, yes.
They wear sparkly pink jackets and they play surf rock.
Awesome.
They did the theme from The Munsters, Hawaii Five-O, of course.
Of course. I would have gone out of my mind. I would have loved that so much.
Yeah, Tsunami of Sound. They were really fun. Now, someone I didn't realize was going to be there until just before the convention. I think this was a late addition to the lineup, but Ricky Bird was there performing, and Ricky Bird was a member of Joan Jett and the Blackhearts.
Oh, neat.
This guy was one of the Blackhearts.
I think I saw him on Sunday.
I'll bet you did. If you saw a guy that looked like he should be playing guitar in the Blackhearts, that was Ricky Bird.
I did see him then.
And he was great. Now, he wasn't playing Joan Jett songs, but he was doing like old blues rock songs. Bo Diddley kind of stuff. Very cool. Amazing guitarist, obviously. Guy's in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Joan Jett and the Blackhearts were inducted. He was there at the ceremony last year. A band called Loose Salute was there, who do a lot of Monkees covers and stuff. So they were kind of serving as the backup band for a bunch of different acts, including Ricky Bird and including John Walmsley went up and did some songs. This is the guy from the Waltons.
Oh.
Back in the 70s. Oh, he was also the voice of Christopher Robin on the old Winnie the Pooh cartoons. And these days, he is also an excellent guitarist. Very impressive guitar work from one of the Waltons, John Walmsley. Wow, Gary booked some interesting people for this show. He's way connected. Gary Summers knows everybody. That's how we got Mickey Dolenz
right,
at this
exactly.
thing. That's because they're buddies. Speaking of which, Mickey Dolenz was up next. He came out. Of course, the crowd goes nuts. Here's Mickey Dolenz playing in that little room at Northeast Comic Con. And Mickey was not on for long. We weren't expecting him to be. You know, this is his break. He's supposed to be. He's in the middle of a tour with the Monkees. He had a few days off. He came to Wilmington, Massachusetts. And Mickey came out. He played 3 songs. He did Stepping Stone.
Nice.
He did I'm a Believer. He did Pleasant Valley Sunday.
Awesome.
So come on. Just knocked him out. 3 Monkees hits. And the show kept going after that. On and on it went. Guy named Sam Mulligan. This was the guy that does kind of that chiptune kind of stuff. He plays a guitar. He has a Hello Kitty guitar alongside some chiptune music. And he was fun. So that's somebody to maybe check out. You might like Sam Mulligan.
I think I would.
And after that was a duo called Draco and the Malfoys. This is a Harry Potter band.
Yeah.
All their songs are about Harry Potter stuff. Now, I don't know anything about Harry Potter. I've never read any of those books. I think I saw 1.6 of the movies, maybe. So I kind of tuned out a little bit, you know, check my email. But, there were other people in the room that were way into Draco and the Malfoys. This is a very popular group. There were some kids that were standing up. They knew all the words. They were in costume. They were way into Draco and the Malfoys. So I'm glad there were people there who were able to appreciate them in a way that I could not. But I was sticking around, though, because finishing out the show, last act of the night was The Lights Out.
Oh, I really wanted to see that.
Yeah, I'm sorry. But someday we've got to get you to a Lights Out show.
Because I know I will find them to be amazing.
Man, there's nothing cooler. And as we've said, I mean, the lights go out. They kill all the house lights and all the stage lights. The room is dark. And then they light up themselves. Their instruments light up. And the colors of their lights are coordinated to everything they're playing. So there's multicolor effects going. But they're also an incredible band. The songs are great. They sound great. Super cool band. It all works. I highly recommend. Go see The Lights Out.
And Mickey Dolenz opened for them.
Yes, Mickey opened for The Lights Out. It was a long, long, long concert, but I'm glad I stuck it out. All 4.5 hours worth. Bunch of fun acts.
They don't mess around.
Yeah, that's
that's a serious music offering.
Yikes, they put on a show. I have one more thing for you from Northeast Comic Con, and that's one of the other guests that we mentioned who was going to be there was Reb Brown.
Oh, yeah, Captain America.
Captain America from back in 1979, and you know I'm a fan. They made 2 made-for-TV Captain America movies. I've got the DVD right here.
Ah.
You've seen, this is old-school, late 70s Captain America. He wore a motorcycle helmet as part of his costume, because he rode around on this motorcycle. And we've mentioned Reb Brown for other things as well. Your favorite Snake movie from the early 70s, remember? Thank you. I always prefer for you to do the title. You're so good at it.
It never gets old.
Reb has done a lot of crazy kind of fun cult science fiction movies over the years, including one called Yor, the Hunter from the Future. That's Yor, Y-O-R, crazy movie from the early 80s. And guess what, Cornflake? Reb was actually kind enough to spend a few minutes with us, do a quick little Flopcast interview, so we can actually have him on the show right now. How about that?
That is awesome.
So this is really quick, but before you ask, don't worry. Yes, I did get in a mention of the Facts of Life.
Excellent.
Because that's what's important to us.
You never let me down,
so,
Kevin.
So let's throw to that right now. Here's Reb Brown. All right, we're at Northeast Comic Con, and look who's here, Captain America himself, Reb Brown. Reb, welcome to the Flopcast.
It's a pleasure being here.
We were real happy to hear that you'd be here today, and your name has come up multiple times on our show very recently. In fact, we did a show about snakes recently.
Right there.
And you've got a picture from...
Yeah, I sure do.
So on IMDb, that's your first credit, is that
correct? That's it. I did that at Universal Studios. That's when I became under contract to them.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and...
it's such a weird cult movie. Like, do you have any memories stand out from...
Oh, yeah, it was Strother Martin.
Yes.
Strother Martin was absolutely incredible in that. I'm a herpetologist. And he was an absolute wonderful joy to work with. Oh, and Dirk Benedict, of course, who was in Galactica.
Sure.
And Heather Menzies.
Yep.
Yep, she was in that. And then she did Captain America with me also. Yeah, we had a lot of fun doing that. And what they needed, excuse my language, they needed a football player. And I could do that quite well.
You did that part perfectly. Very first job. That's amazing. You've done so many just fun kind of cult classic stuff over the years, and just because we knew you were going to be here today, last night, I'm not kidding, my wife and I watched You're the Hunter from the Future.
Yeah, and, yours truly.
So fun.
Yeah.
And I think for such an unusual backstory on that, because that was a TV series, right? And then they kind of edited it down
to the movie. I spent 6 months in Turkey, and they named a country properly. It was unbelievable, believe me.
That movie is just... crazy fun, though, just the mix of the prehistoric and then into the future.
It was just a trip and a half. It was just so different with the way things were organized and stuff like that. And I mean, well, here, you want to see something here?
What we have here? Oh.
This is the original comic book that it came from Italy.
Wow, this is the actual original Italian comic book series.
Yeah.
I've never seen that before. That's amazing.
I mean, it's a lot racier than what we did.
But. I can tell just from here.
Yeah, but it was a real trip. And then the amazing thing about Yor is that, you know, the part of the crew was Turkish, part of the crew was Italian.
I was wondering, just as we watched it, how did everybody communicate during the production of this?
They say, Capito. I go, I guess. I have a scene around the campfire, and we're all talking, and they're saying different stuff. I says, well, what are they saying? He says, don't worry about it. I'll edit it. It was a trip.
I really enjoyed it. We also wanted to make sure we mentioned, because we're huge like classic sitcoms fans, and you did a lot of sitcom work back in the day as well, and we were watching The Facts of Life.
Oh, yeah.
Recently.
Yeah, I was on that, too.
And you were in a pretty milestone episode of Facts of Life. That was season 2, episode 1. That was when they added Joe, Nancy McKeon.
Exactly,
her very first episode. There's Reb Brown. The girls sneak into a bar, and you're working the door.
Yeah, exactly, which I actually did in real life, was a bouncer.
You were an actual bouncer?
Yeah,
Was it harder working as a bouncer in real life or as a bouncer keeping out those Facts of Life rules?
Yeah. And Gary Coleman, I introduced myself to Gary Coleman. I know who you are.
Wow. You're Captain America.
It was a trip. It was really and they were good kids. I enjoyed them. They were very nice.
Oh, very cool. And then, I mean, obviously, Captain America is what... yikes, you're in Captain America shape today. Look at you.
6'3½", 235 pounds. I'm agile, hostile, mobile.
And I love those movies as well. The two, 1979, and those are so fun. Again, like it's a product of its time. Like, you look at that action-adventure stuff of the time, and it's all the trucks and motorcycles.
It was fun. It was
vans and just all those beautiful outdoor shots. Just looked crazy fun.
It was a gas. It was a lot of fun to do that and working with Christopher Lee I had just a wonderful time doing that. I really did. Alan Balter, rest her soul, was the producer. He also did $6 Million Man.
Sure.
We would have done 12 episodes, okay? But Marvel Comics took away the rights to us.
Right, right.
And so that was it. So, but, you know, I had a blast doing it. And, hey, people still recognize me. In fact, when they showed it on Sci-Fi Channel, all the kids in the neighborhood said, can you still jump that high? I said, not anymore.
Yeah, I love that people still appreciate those movies today. Yeah. And then that was the beginning. I mean, there were the Captain America serials way back in the 40s, but for really doing a full-length Captain America project, it was you. You were the first.
Yeah, that's it.
And,
that's it.
You are my captain.
And I crashed on the motorcycle, too.
Every 5 minutes. We loved it.
Yeah.
Reb, this has been great. Thank you so much for taking the time to be on the Flopcast.
God bless. You take care. Pleasure.
All right, there you go. Captain America, there he is.
Thank you, Kevin. Thank you for asking all the important questions.
We covered everything that's important, including, of course, the facts of life.
How could you not?
That's most important to me. Nice to have Reb on the show. That was Northeast Comic Con, and we can look ahead to another one. I think they're already planning the next one for December. That could be your December convention.
That could be mine. December convention. I'm sure they've got a lot of work ahead of them.
I'm sure Gary's working right now and booking all kinds of crazy weird things to happen in December.
I can't wait to see what he comes up with.
We shall be there, I'm guessing. A couple of things before we wrap up, Cornflake, and that is we have some things to plug right here on the ESO Network. I was actually on the Earth Station 1 podcast last week. Mm-hmm. Once again, they beamed me up to the station.
You have frequent flyer miles at this point.
They got me up there again, and this is a fun one. Last week's ESO episode, it's Earth Station 1, episode 322, and we were talking about George Perez, who was speaking of which, George was at the last Northeast Comic Con back in December last year.
I remember.
Yeah. We did a whole show, whole ESO episode, all about George Perez, who's just a remarkable comic book artist and creator. You know, Teen Titans, Crisis on Infinite Earths, Justice League, Avengers. He's drawn everything, just one of the greats in the business. And it was Mike and Bobby, Darren and me, and just talking George Perez. Check out ESO episode 322. And this week, I was up there again.
Wow.
I'm really wearing out my welcome up on ESO. But to soften the blow this time, I brought along the mayor.
Oh, so the two of you get beamed up together.
We were up there together, making her Earth Station 1 podcast debut was the mayor of Chickentown.
Sweet.
She was up there with me. So this was Mike and Mike, the ESO hosts, plus me and the mayor.
Very cool.
And the theme of this episode was One Season Wonders. That is TV series that only lasted one season.
We've talked about our fair share of those on the Flopcast.
It's practically all we talk about. So
well, that and popsicles.
That's true. Yeah, we... Next time ESO does a whole show about popsicles, I'm going to suggest they have you on.
Beam me right up. I guess your popsicles are right here.
But yeah, this was one season. I don't know what to think of that.
I just said that to crack you up.
It worked. This ESO is One Season Wonders, TV shows that just lasted one season. And yeah, I told them, you know, this is what we talk about anyway. If we weren't doing a podcast right now, we would most likely be talking about Manimal. So that's what we did on the podcast. Plus a million more goofy old shows from the past.
Pink Lady.
Pink Lady did come up, yes. Wow, good call. I wasn't even the one that brought up Pink Lady.
You weren't?
No. Everybody loves Pink Lady and Jeff. Come on, Cornflake.
Wait, now that you know about them, did you mention Dolphin Cove?
No, I didn't mention Dolphin Cove. Your Australian dolphin show.
See, that's why you need me there.
Yeah, you're
Dolphin
right.
Cove and popsicles.
So I recommend check out ESO episode 322 and 323 and beyond, because that's a fun show, even when I'm not there. Maybe even more so.
I don't know about that.
Go to esopodcast.com to find Earth Station 1, plus all the other wonderful shows here in the ESO Network family.
Yes.
There's a whole bunch of wacky shows out there for you to enjoy.
Yes, yes.
I have one more thing for you today, Cornflake. It's a What's in the Bag.
Oh, we love this segment.
Look, I brought a bag.
So what we do here at the Flopcast for What's in the Bag is that we put something in a bag,
yep,
and then we take it out.
I'm not saying it's the most brilliant idea anyone's ever had, but it's the only idea we had.
People love it.
For a segment.
Come on. Who doesn't love What's in the Bag?
Yeah, well, as this show comes out, we are just days away from Convergence. And as you know, I am headed off to Minneapolis for Convergence.
You're going
to
touch the moon for me.
The word is they have pieces of the moon at Convergence
and
Mars, and you're going to be allowed to touch them. My task is to try to touch the moon and Mars on your behalf.
Yes, please.
I'll do what I can. You may recall, Cornflake, does this look familiar to you?
You love the Flopcast.
Those are the badge ribbons that we made last year for the Flopcast, because this is one of those conventions where people are obsessed with badge ribbons.
Yes.
People stick these little ribbons all over their convention badges.
And it makes a streamer right down to their toes.
Yeah, some people will just make these long, crazy chains of ribbons as they collect them from people throughout the convention. And these are the ribbons that we made for last year's conventions. These are our very first Flopcast badge ribbons.
And they say, you love the Flopcast.
Yes. So this was last year's ribbon. What do you suppose I have in this bag now, Cornflip? I may have telegraphed this too much at this point.
Maybe. I was going to see if you had maybe more of those ribbons, but I get the feeling that the Flopcast has a new ribbon.
Well, why don't you check out what's in the bag?
Okay, I'll stop laughing and I'll start talking. In pretty shiny silver writing on purple badge ribbons.
The ribbons are purple this year.
They're bright purple, and it says the Flopcast, not just for chickens anymore. And listeners, there are chickens. More than one. There are two chickens.
Little picture of an actual couple of chickens.
Look at those. Are some good-looking chickens.
Those lovely chickens.
Not just for chickens anymore.
Yeah, that is our 2016 Flopcast convention ribbon. Here they are.
Those are special.
So, yes, I will be bringing these to Convergence this week. So, if you weren't planning on coming to Convergence, I think I just changed your mind for you, people. Be sure to get there and find me, and I shall give you a ribbon.
That badge ribbon is a game changer.
This changes everything. Suddenly, flights are being booked as we speak. People frantically calling their travel agents because our listeners are still in 1981 and they use travel agents.
I need a Flopcast badge ribbon. Oh man, everyone's going to want one of those.
That is going to be the hottest ribbon at Convergence, I predict.
Is that because you're going to leave it in the sun?
That's the plan, yes. I'm going to leave it on Mars. Did I ever tell you about Robilar from Mars? Robilar was a PSA in the late 70s. It aired on Boston area TV stations.
Just try to make us stop talking about Robilar and his candy bars.
However, I'm afraid we're out of time for this week's show, so remind me. I'd like to tell you more about Robilar sometime.
Next time we'll talk about Robilar?
Maybe.
I hope.
This week, however, we got to wrap up the show. Get us out of here, please.
Okay. Our handle on Twitter is @Flopcast. We're on Facebook, too, facebook.com/Flopcast. And we have our very own website. It is flopcast.net.
Yes. All right, Cornflake. Got to take these ribbons and head out to Minnesota.
Safe travels to you, Kevin. I hope you have a blast at Convergence.
I look forward to more hot popsicle talk when I get back.
You got it, Kevin.
Excellent. See you then.
Peace and cookies.
Hello, Marvel Universe! The Earth Station MCU podcast is your home for all things related to the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Join our debrief as we discuss Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Agent Carter, upcoming and past favorite Marvel movies, cosplay, comics history, toys, games, interviews, and all things MCU. Whether you're a hero or a villain, a new viewer, or have been reading comics since you were a kid, there's something for you on Earth Station MCU.
There's a removable bulletproof shield that's part of the bike's windscreen.
How do you get it out of here?
Rocket assist for launch out of the van, and jet assist for high-speed acceleration.
You're going to need something to protect you on that bike anyway. Why not a disguise? Be Captain America, Steve.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network, your station for all things geek. Classic, current, and beyond. Be part of the crew at ESONetwork.com.